Good morning, my friends and my brother and sisters in Christ. It is probably too late to say Happy New Year since we are already 12 days into the New Year. But if you meet a Chinese friend, please do not forget to say Happy New Year to them because it's coming in 2 weeks' time. Yeah, and it applies as well to Japanese friends and Korean friends. Right. This morning, our message is taken from John chapter 21, verses 1 to 22, and here it is. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way: Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." But none of the disciples dare ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Verse 15, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I said to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." We have two challenges this morning. The first challenge is that this is a long passage, and you think my sermon will end 60 minutes later. To make life simple, I'm going to approach this passage by looking at the three questions that Jesus Christ has for the disciples and for Peter, and one challenge from our Lord. The second challenge we have this morning is that it is a very familiar passage, and we think that we know everything about this passage, but I'm going to prove you wrong. John chapter 21 is a very peculiar chapter, because if you read the book of John right up to chapter 20, you will soon realize that this book should end at chapter 20. Chapter 21 seems to be like an additional material, an addendum to a book that has already been finished. And so because this is a very peculiar chapter, I believe that it has got a very peculiar message for us this morning. And each of us will probably read this chapter in different light. And this morning, I'll share what I see. We all understand that chapter 21 is mostly about the conversation between Jesus and Peter. And Peter had been a loser. We knew that because before the crucifixion, he denied Jesus Christ 3 times. He has been a loser, and somehow Jesus needs to bring him back and restore his honor and make him do something great for him. And this is where chapter 21 comes in. Peter needed our Lord Jesus Christ to turn him from being a loser to being a winner. And this is why the topic of this sermon is the Lord fine-tuned Peter. So the first question that was posed to the disciples is this question: do you have any fish for breakfast? So I will invite all of us to open our mouths and read these verses together. Let's go. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." Let's take a look at the timeline to see where this episode lies. If you look at the timeline, you do realize that Jesus Christ was crucified, and he was resurrected, and he ascended. And chapter 21 is just in between the resurrection and the ascension. And this timeline is very important, because when we look at the attitude of Peter, we do realize that the implication and the importance of the resurrection hasn't sunk in yet. He is like a typical Kiwi. "I'm going fishing." And he took the lead, and the rest of them followed him. And so they got into the boat, and they went fishing. To him, fishing was the most important thing in his life. The Sea of Galilee has been his home. He knew every shore. He knew every tree. He knew where the best fish can be found. So for him, fishing is his life. This is the ultimate Kiwi lifestyle, isn't it? And Peter is that person. He knew what he wants. He knew what is in his heart. But this is the entry point of our Lord Jesus Christ into the heart of Peter. Our Lord Jesus wants to fine-tune the heart of Peter. By asking, "Do you have any fish for breakfast?" our Lord Jesus Christ is trying to show Peter, "I'm concerned for your stomach. I'm concerned for your physical need." We note that Jesus Christ was on the shore, and he's got the barbie ready. He's got a coal, it's burning, he's got a fish, and he's got bread. What else can you ask? If you're fishing on the shore, you would like to have a warm breakfast on the beach. And so Jesus Christ invited his disciples. He is concerned for their stomach. And by this question, I think our Lord trying to remind Peter, while you are concerned for fishing, I'm too concerned for you, but I'm the provider. I tell you where to get a fish, and you get the fish, otherwise you caught nothing. The Lord Jesus Christ is our provider. And I think this is an important spiritual lesson. We are always often mindful of getting ahead in life. If we have been students, we want to score high marks in our exams. If we are working, we want to have the best paid job in the whole world. If we are retiring, we want to know how to spend our time more meaningfully. But compared to all these pursuits that we have with the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, maybe we need to give more time to think about the importance and the implications of the resurrection. And this morning, I urge us to take a look into our hearts. What's important to us in our lives? Are we focusing the question of our life more on our spiritual needs than our physical needs? For example, I know that we all need holidays and recreation, but I'm sorry to say this with a bit of humility, that I do not understand why we need to cancel 2 Sunday services. Isn't the resurrection worth celebrating 52 Sundays a year? I do not understand why our physical needs is more important than our spiritual needs. So we need to be very mindful of the very foundation of our faith. We are here to celebrate the resurrection. And St. Paul reminded us very clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it's so important that we should know the foundation of our faith. So let us read this together again. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that He raised Christ, whom He did raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. The resurrection. We sang about it, we knew about it, but the question is, how important is it in our lives? The resurrection is worth celebrating. We need to meet so that our faith can be challenged and strengthened. So let us stop behaving like Peter, who went fishing, rather than give some serious thoughts to the event of the resurrection. Let us proceed to hear the question, the second question that the Lord posed to Peter. Do you love me more than these? When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? In the original Greek, these can refer either to things or to people. In other words, our Lord Jesus Christ is asking Peter, Simon John, do you love me? Do you love these people, this fishing boat, this water, your friends, more than you love me? It's a question of comparison. Do you love me more than this or less than this? When we compare things, we tend to compare things that are similar. So for instance, if you are choosing a computer, you want to know what OS you want to use. So you will either choose an Apple or an Orange or a penguin. So this is what we call a fair comparison. Okay, there is such thing as an unfair comparison. This is an unfair comparison, right? Because an apple is very sweet and very nice and crunchy to eat, but nobody bites through a durian like this, isn't it? Right? And durian is so obnoxious. Either you like it or you don't like it. There's no two ways about it, right? Okay, but you don't compare an apple with a durian. Neither would you compare an apple with an orange, correct? Okay, but in this case, when Jesus Christ asked Peter this question, "Do you love me more than these?" Let me say that it was an unfair comparison. Why is it so? Because if you look at it carefully, our Lord Jesus Christ has put himself down to the level of things. Our Lord is so high up there, and he says, "Do you love me more than your boats, your sea, your friends?" He's putting himself down to this lower level. And it's surprising, isn't it? But it's not because Jesus Christ cannot come down to that level. This question is more asked because for the sake of Peter. Has Peter actually brought our Lord Jesus Christ down to the level? Has Peter made the mistake of not thinking about the resurrection, but think more about his fishing? He feels that his fishing is more important than the resurrection. And he has actually put our Lord Jesus Christ down to the level of things that he's familiar with, things that he loved. But I think we do that sometimes, don't we? We often put our Lord Jesus Christ down to the level of things. And we sometimes do this quite unconsciously. So for example, when we pray, what do we pray for? We pray for the Lord's blessing. Bless me, bracket, do it for me, Lord. Don't we always do that? We pray for things that would increase our comfort and decrease our stress. We pray for things that will make us successful and help us to make more money. And when we pray for evangelism, or you pray that there will be a great harvest, don't we sometimes come back and say, "Thank God for such a great harvest. Thank God for answering our prayer." Haven't we brought our Lord down to the level of Santa Claus? Do you love our Lord Jesus Christ more than we love his blessings? And so therefore we need to fine-tune our attitude towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Jesus Christ posed the third question, "Do you love me?" And this time he said it twice. So let's read this passage together. He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" We are very familiar with this passage. We always group the "you love me" question into a trinity, right? Three questions in one package. But I'm going to divide it into first question and second and third question. I group this second and third question together. Do you love me? So when we look at this passage, we normally jump into this Greek word and says that, oh, this love has got, you can either choose agapeo or phileo. We are going to skip that this morning and begin to meditate this very important question, because Jesus Christ is not asking, "Do you love me more than this?" Now Jesus Christ shoots into the hearts of Peter, "Do you love me?" No more comparison. Do you love Jesus? And so Peter has got to answer straight this time. "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. If Peter gives that answer, he must not even love himself. He must not even love his life. Let's wind back the scenario. Before the resurrection, at the face of death, before the crucifixion, Peter denied our Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. This is a picture of Peter. The maid accused him that, "You know this Jesus." And then there's another man and another man accusing him that he knew Jesus. And Peter denied Jesus Christ 3 times, and there is a cock behind there, ready to crow. That was before the resurrection. When Peter went for fishing and met Jesus Christ, that was after the resurrection. And now there's reason for Peter not to fear for his own life, because he has the resurrection. He knew that there's a resurrection. And that's what the resurrection meant for believers of Jesus Christ. It means that we can give up our life for our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter knew that there's a resurrection, and he does not need to fear for his life anymore. And this is the fine-tuning that our Lord wants to give to Peter, that he should not love even his own life if he says that he loved the Lord. And today we are on the resurrection side of death. And because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can confidently say that we will not die and we will live forever with our Lord Jesus Christ. But how is that translated to our life today? Even as we are speaking, we are aware that there are Christians who are suffering for their persecutions. And we pray for them, we admire them, we give examples of their strong faith. And we even tell ourselves that when we meet the same situation, we will be willing to give our lives to our Lord. And that's where I need to question. Because Christians who have been under persecution will always long to meet together to worship the Lord. And sometimes they have to cancel their worship service to avoid the authorities. But here we are in New Zealand, we said we have the freedom of worship, and yet we let the world decide for us whether to have our worship service. I shared my disappointment at the cancellation of our worship service to a missionary couple, and their reply was, "This is quite common among churches in New Zealand." This is a cultural shock to me. And I think it is also a spiritual shock to me. If we are under persecution and we stop worship service, I can understand. But we are not. And the world seems to tell us it's fine. It's fine, folks, to cancel our worship service. There is no shame if the rest of us go to worship service, go for holidays, and there are only 20 of us here. There's no shame for 20 of us to worship together. Why not? Why do we need to listen to the devil and cancel our worship service? I'm afraid that many churches have fallen into the devil's trap. So there will be plenty of heart searching to do when we cancel our worship service for the sake of taking a holiday. Do you love me? It's a tough question. It's a question that shoots into the heart. It's a question that must be considered seriously in the light of the resurrection. The answer to this question is no longer, "Who are you, Lord?" Because the answer should have been, "You are the resurrection and the life. To live is Christ, to die is gain. We will love you with all our strength, with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our souls. We will love you even if it meant death to us. But before talking about death, our Lord Jesus Christ challenged Peter to put his love into action. The Lord called Peter to follow him. In other words, before we start talking about death, before we talk about dying for Christ, let's talk about following Christ. So let's read this passage together. Jesus said this to show by what kind of death Peter was to go through in order to glorify God. And after saying this, Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? Follow me." The Lord's command to Peter was, "Follow me." And our Lord said it twice. In the original Greek, the grammar of the verb to follow is in the present imperative. It means it is a continuous tense. It means you must keep on following me. You must keep on following me. So the first time in verse 19, when our Lord commanded Peter to follow him, he was telling Peter that as a consequence of loving him, he have to pay the price of laying down his life. And then our Lord Jesus Christ repeated a second time in verse 22. And this time he was responding to Peter's questions. And Peter was questioning our Lord Jesus Christ, "What about him? What about John?" And our Lord Jesus Christ says, "If I want John to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." In other words, MYOB, you must follow me. Mind your own business. Just follow me. And this was very embarrassing for Peter, because in the whole episode, Peter just asked this one question. How about him? And the answer that Jesus Christ gave him really embarrassed him and make him feel very small and silly. Peter should have kept quiet and obeyed our Lord the first time he said, "Follow me," rather than comparing himself with another disciple. Peter was distracted. At a time when he should be casting his eyes on our Lord Jesus Christ and following him, he's casting his eyes on other disciples. And I'm afraid that sometimes we do that, isn't it? We are in fact distracted by a lot of Christians and what other Christians do in their lives. It is a fact that there are many shades of Christians in this world. Some are saintly white, some are sinful dark, the rest are 50 shades of grey in between. Which disciples are we going to follow if we say, "What about him?" Instead of the question of "What about him?", we should ask the question, "What about me? Am I following the Lord Jesus Christ, or am I following another grey Christian?" I think this is a very vital question in our lives. We think that the resurrection is important. We think that dying for Christ is what we must do. Let's talk about, more practically, following Christ instead of following one another. So our Lord Jesus Christ gave this challenge to Peter. You must keep on following me, and MYOB, you must follow me. We have come to the conclusion. Hooray! Three questions and one challenge. Do you have any fish? Do you love me more than this? Do you love me? It's not coming out. Yep, thank you, Alex. Three questions and the last one, a challenge. Follow me. Through these questions, our Lord Jesus Christ once again trying to remind Peter Do not be dejected by your failures. Do not be attracted by such things as fishing. Do not be distracted by looking at other disciples. But to know and believe in the resurrection, to love the Lord more than your life, to keep on following the Lord. Our Lord did this gently but firmly. And I think we need our Lord Jesus Christ to fine-tune our hearts and minds too this morning. Who do we love? Who do we follow? And may the Lord help us, because we do not want to be overtaken by the soft selling of this world. We want to stand for our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to follow Him. And so, let us change our hearts and minds and leave our comfort zone and step up and carry the cross. No more questioning, what about Him? But what about me? What about me? Let us keep following the Lord. Let us keep on encouraging one another to follow the Lord until the end of our lives or until our Lord Jesus Christ come again. Let us rise for the benediction. Now may the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated.